the Jewish feast. I want us to take a quick look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. Matthew 12, verse 40. Listen carefully. Jesus is speaking, and I'm going to begin at verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Now we've got people today seeking after signs. The scriptures tell us that the signs follow the believers. It's just like a motorboat going through the water. There's a huge wake back behind if you're really walking in the Spirit and have the Word of God in your heart and in your mind. All right. He says, The only sign that shall be given to this generation is the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Many other places in Scripture, Christ refers to the fact that he's going to be in the grave for 3 days. But here, he specifically says 3 days and 3 nights. Now, there are many people that say, okay, that is just a long way of saying 3 days. See, to say 3 days and 3 nights. I reject that. I reject it. I do not believe that Christ creates problems with things that he says. He clarifies situations. He doesn't create problems. Now, to understand what we're going to talk about today, I'm going to have to draw up here for us a few things. And I'm going to let straight lines be day. All right? And I'm going to let wiggle lines be nights. N-I-T-E. Night. All right? All right. Straight line, wiggles. Straight line, wiggles. Let's just take a look at one simple one first. Here's a day, night. All right, we'll draw something like this. Now, you and I, Americans, Gentiles, we start our days at the midpoint, or 12 midnight. 12 midnight. So this would be our day. Beginning at midnight, let's just say that's the day Wednesday. It would start right there, and it would go past all of 12 hours of sunlight to midnight. But, beloved, the Jews do not reckon this way. The Jews consider day to begin at sundown. So in our picture, here would be, see, here's daylight. So right there would be sundown, and they use 6 o'clock for sundown, okay? 6 o'clock is sundown. So for you and me, for you and I, this would be Wednesday, but not for a Jew. The Jews' day begins at sundown and goes until the following sundown. So that would be Wednesday for the Jew, between here and here. Now you'll notice that there's an overlap. There's one other little feature about the Jews. They actually have two evenings. They have two. At 3 o'clock, all right, now see, if this is a day, then midpoint here would be 12 noon. So midpoint of that would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon is their first evening. The Jews had a morning sacrifice. Every day, God instituted that the Jews would offer a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice. And the evening sacrifice, now listen carefully. I'm going to say things now, and you're going to say, oh, Floyd, you know, why are you going through all this? It will become abundantly clear in a few moments. So just try and stay. Don't worry that you're not remembering it. I'll refer back to these statements. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the Jews have their first evening and kill the evening sacrifice. All right. We're going to make a point about that. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But the official day to them begins at 6 in the evening. The Jewish day begins at sundown, so there is a sundown. All right, so I am going to call this, and you'll see why later, Thursday the 14th. Here's the next sundown. Therefore, from this sundown to the following sundown, if that was Thursday the 14th, this must be Friday the 15th. If this is Friday the 15th, then from that line to this line must be Saturday the 16th. Now, there's something very special to the Jews about Saturday, isn't there? Saturday is the Sabbath, so we'd better write that down here. I'll write Sabbath. S-A-B-O-T-H. Praise the Lord. Now, if that's Saturday, then this must be Sunday the 17th. All right. So what is the next question? Beloved, my point that we're going to look at today is, we're getting to the Jewish calendar, but before we can get there, we have to make some remarks and see some things about the week, the last week in Jesus' life on this earth, the first time as a man. Point, was Jesus actually crucified on Good Friday? Now, once again, that's not going to save anyone's soul, and it's nothing worth splitting a church over. But it is important, and the Scriptures make it abundantly clear. I guess one point we want to look at today is, and see, is how encumbered we are to the traditions of man. Okay? Let's see if Christ, in fact, was killed on Friday. The Scriptures tell us, beloved, as all of us know, that Christ rose on the first day of the week. Now, that is Sunday. All right? So here in our picture is Sunday. The Jews celebrated the Passover. They instituted the Passover in Exodus chapter 12. And let me just say this real quickly. Most of the high points of what we'll be talking about today, you need to go back, and we'll read it too today. But I want you to have this. Most of it hinges around Leviticus chapter 23. You can also read in Numbers chapter 9, and also in Exodus 12, and in Numbers chapter 29. All of these will help you here. We have just read that Christ said He would be in the grave 3 days and three nights. All right. Well, let's just see. Let's see what it is we're talking about. In Exodus 12, the Jews were told on the 14th day of the month of Nisan, N-I-S-A-N, and that's the Babylonian name for their first month. You'll find in the Bible the name Abib, A-B-I-B, often written. Let's take one quick look and see that back in Exodus, those of you that may have your Scriptures with you, in Exodus chapter 13, God changed the Jewish calendar on them when they came out of Egypt. And if you're reading in the Scriptures, in Exodus 13, verse 4, it says, "This day came ye out in the month of Abib." Now, up until that time, Abib was their seventh month. Their seventh month. But God changed that. Now, let's see. That's not so hard to understand. It's just like, we're in July right now. This is our seventh month, isn't it? Perfect. Hallelujah. Now, God shows up in the room and says, "Fellas, from now on, I want you to call this month one instead of January. We're going to change things." So don't forget that. Abib is the Hebrew name for what was their seventh month. God said, "Fellas, we're starting all over. We're starting something new. I'm doing a new thing. Call your seventh month Abib, month one, from now on." And oh, are we going to make a point of that later? When they were in captivity in Babylon, the Scriptures, many Scriptures were written, and they call this first month Nisan. Now, I want you to see this because many of you probably have never noticed these terms in the Scriptures. Now that I call them to your attention, you're going to start, as you read the Bible, they'll just start leaping out at you. You'll say, "Golly, why didn't I ever see that word before?" Time and time again, Abib and Nisan. All right. Talk about Passover to understand the rest of it. Very briefly, here's Passover. On the 10th day of Nisan, they were told to select a one-year-old male lamb or goat without blemish. Every sacrifice in the Bible teaches about Jesus, because Jesus is the sacrifice. And every sacrifice in the Bible is there. I don't care what it is. It might be a loaf of bread. If they're sacrificing a loaf of bread, that is there to teach us something about Jesus. And so, they were to select a male lamb, 1 year old, without defect, spot or blemish, on the 10th day of the month. All right, we see then that Jesus was the lamb of sacrifice without spot or blemish. That was being prophesied 1,500 years before Jesus got here. And they took this lamb on the 10th day, brought him into their home, made a pet out of him for 4 days. They did this for two reasons: to become personally attached, and secondly, to observe him for 4 days and make sure that he was not a sickly lamb, so that they could be in context with the lesson. On the 14th day of the month, and this is our family, gathered together, laid their hands on that lamb, their pet, and the father slit his throat. The sinners killed the lamb of sacrifice. They were then told, and as they laid hands on that lamb, they were to envision their sins being transferred to that lamb. It hurt to kill their pet. God wanted them to understand that our sin hurts Him. And so that's why they made a pet out of Him, to feel the hurt. All right. Then the father took the blood and some hyssop branches. Now hyssop, as we've said before, is a hairy-leafed plant. It's very hairy-leafed, and it'll hold a lot of blood. Let this be the doorpost, the door. This is a door. That is the lintel of the door, side post and side post. And kill that lamb at the doorway. Therefore, he bled right at the bottom, right there. But he takes it, and he comes up with this hyssop, and it says, strike the lintel of the door, then the side post, and the other side post. And as you can see, we're forming a cross. And the destroying angel could not come in to that house is because the blood on the lintel represented the crown of thorns, the blood from the crown of thorns on Jesus' head. The doorpost and the doorpost were the nails in his hand, the blood from the nails in his hand. And where they kill the animal and where the blood would drip to would be the nails in his feet. So Christ barred the entrance. Judgment was coming on Egypt. And if you read Exodus 12 carefully, you will see that the judgment was not just coming on the Egyptians. That judgment was coming on all people living there, Jews included, unless they were covered by the blood of the innocent substitute lamb. In other words, as the destroying angel came, he saw the blood on that doorpost and passed over. Now, there's another judgment coming one of these days for you and for me. But God, just exactly like that type teaches, when He sees the blood of the Lamb passes right over us in judgment, and the Bible teaches that the sin question is not even going to be brought up in your judgment and in mine, because we settled that sin question, Bill, when we accepted Jesus Christ. The sin question was settled. That's good news. He's not going to shake you and say, you little sinner, you just didn't do a good job down there. No, He isn't even going to bring up your sin. That is super news. That's super news. That your judgment as a child of God is a judgment of rewards. Rewards lost and gained. And you'll realize, and I'll realize, that there were times that we sure blew it. But He's not going to shake His finger at us about sin. Hallelujah. And so that's the significance of the Passover. And they killed the Passover lamb on the 14th day. And they selected him on the 10th. You say, Floyd, you're throwing out a lot of facts. I know it, but every one of them are pregnant, and they're going to bear fruit. So, beloved, let's just see if Jesus actually died on Friday 15. The Scriptures tell us that Christ was arrested at midnight in the Garden of Gethsemane. So let's just take a look. Here's Friday the 15th. Midpoint in that wiggle line, which represents a night, would be when he got arrested. So we'll put a little mark there. There's midnight. All right? The Bible tells us that he went through a series of trials during the night. 6 of them, all illegal, both by Roman and by Jewish law. All were illegal. Finally, the scriptures tell us, now remember, if sundown is 6 o'clock, sunrise to the Jew is also 6 o'clock. And the Jews reckoned their hours from sunrise. It's very simple. The third hour in the morning to a Jew would be 9 o'clock. 6 o'clock is sunup. That's when his day begins. Add 3 to that, the third hour. They don't call nighttime periods hours. They have 12 hours in their day, beginning at sunup. The nighttime they call watches, and I'm not going to teach you that. You got enough on your mind now. And the scriptures tell us that Christ went to the cross. So if this is one day, then midway would be noon. Christ went to the cross the third hour, which would be 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock in the morning. The first 3 hours, he was not being judged by God. He did not have sin on him. That was man's wrath against God on that cross. Let me say this about the cross. Jesus had already taken the worst part of it from a human standpoint. If you read about the beatings and ever write them all down on a list and notice which ones are different from all 4 Gospels, you will find something rather shocking to be true. That Jesus Christ is obviously the most powerful man that has ever lived. For you have never seen a man that could have taken those beatings and survived. He didn't even black out. You need to read about what the Roman whip of 9 tails was like. It had pieces of bone and metal, sharp, jagged pieces of metal in it. He took 2 beatings with that during that night. And it says many times that the Roman soldiers, and let me tell you, Roman soldiers knew how to throw a punch. These professional men of war, that many times they hit him in the face and he didn't black out. The entire body of the Sanhedrin beat him about the face. And we find out as we read Isaiah 52, verses 13 through 15, that when Christ appears at the end of the tribulation, that the people in the world will see him, look upon him whom they have pierced, as Zechariah 12:10 says, and mourn for him as an only son that has died. But Isaiah 52:13 through 15 says that his face is so disfigured from the beating that he took that you cannot recognize it as being that of a man. Jesus never sinned, and because he never sinned, he never deteriorated in any way. When God created Adam, he said, Adam, have dominion over the whole world. And I'll tell you something, if he told me that just like I am right now, he's going to have to juice me up a little bit. I haven't got the physical power to have dominion over this whole world. I don't have the mental capacity to stand there and name all the animals as God brought them to me. And yet I'm supposed to have a good mind. But I couldn't do that. Therefore, Adam was much more intelligent than we are. Have you ever wondered why it is that science tells us we only use about 10% of our brain capacity? What's the rest of all that stuff hanging around for? Go back to the first chapters in the Bible when people lived 800, 900, and 1,000 years practically. We haven't used up what God gave us. And I'm going to tell you something. Evolution is dead wrong. We're not getting better and smarter. Those people were more intelligent than we are because they lived longer and by years, and their bodies were not deteriorating, their minds were not becoming senile. At age 100, 200, 300, they were still on the upswing. And over the years, they learned more. In fact, Josephus says, and I realize this is Jewish tradition, I don't know whether it's true or not, Josephus says it was Abraham that taught the Egyptians algebra and trigonometry so that they could build the pyramids and things. Hallelujah. Think about that a while. Think about that a while. These people lived longer. They were smarter than we were by attrition. Thank the Lord. I'm a lot farther along right now than I was when I was 20 when I thought I knew it all, you see, because I've learned that I didn't know it all. You see, if nothing else, that alone was a revelation. All right. So Jesus, the most powerful man that ever lived, he took those beatings, and you and I would have died or passed out and no telling what. Man's wrath against God the first 3 hours, and then at 12 noon the sky went black. Now God's wrath comes upon Jesus, because now the sins of the world are put on Jesus at high noon. And God wouldn't let anybody see that, including himself. He turned his back to avoid seeing that because, listen to me, God is no respecter of persons. God hates sin. Sin is offensive and repulsive and repugnant and is an abomination to the very character of a holy, just, righteous God. It nauseates him. And when Christ, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, was made sin for us, and the sins of the world were all placed on him, God could make no exceptions. The sin on Christ even made Christ repulsive to him, and he could not observe it and look at it. Habakkuk 1:13 says, God's eyes are too holy and pure to behold sin. And I want you to understand something today. God wasn't taking the light way out. God was on the cross. In a mystery that we don't understand, God was in heaven ruling the universe, and God was on that cross dying. God in heaven felt the pain and the death every bit as much as the God part of him that was on that cross. He didn't cop out and hide behind the clouds and let Jesus take the rap. That's not the way it goes. Remember, we've learned in here that Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That's Jesus. And then we find out that his titles are the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. That child that was born in a mystery is the Everlasting Father. Now, I don't understand that, Brother Ivy, but that's what Isaiah 9:6 says. And I just have to accept that I can't understand the Trinity. I don't understand it. I just accept it because the Bible teaches it. And so Jesus, then, if it says in the Scriptures that the sky went black and that at the ninth hour, the sky went black at the sixth hour, that'd be noon, and at the ninth hour, that'd be 3 p.m, he gave up the ghost and died. He dismissed his spirit. Even on the cross, he had the authority to say when he would die. I tell you, and we will make a point that there was no accident, that he chose that exact moment. All right, but first, let's see if that fulfills Scripture. We find out that on the first day of the week, Mary and the others came to the tomb. Now, let me just say this. The rock wasn't moved away so that Jesus could get out. It was so the people could look in. Jesus went right through solid rock. The thing that convinced John and Peter so much when they got there the next day, that morning, resurrection morning, was the fact that the Jews had taken a tradition from the Egyptians. Remember, they lived in Egypt for quite some time. And they wrapped their dead in 1-inch linen strips. And then they put a mixture of myrrh and aloes over it and made kind of a shellac. And so it was a cocoon that they wrapped them in. When they looked in, they saw a cocoon in perfect form of a man, except the head. The head wrappings had been removed, but his body was in perfect form there. And they knew that Jesus had passed right through that linen. And he went right through the rock. And the angel came and moved that stone so that people could look in and see that he had risen, not to let Jesus come out. Hallelujah for that. Well, as you see, we know, therefore, that Jesus must have risen from the dead very near sunrise, let's say. Now, in other words, the Scriptures tell us that they came right at sunrise. Now, remember, in Jewish thinking, any part of a day is all day. Now, you need to understand that. Lenore, if I came to your house for 2 hours in the morning, to the Jewish thought, I had spent the day. I had been with you that day. So if any part of a day falls in here, that's good. That's all they need to fulfill Scripture. All right? So right now, you and I don't really know at this point whether Jesus rose from the dead slightly before sunrise or, you know, maybe even at midnight to us. Or just even if it was 1 minute after sunrise, that's enough to have a day. So let's just see what happens. I'm going to be generous and say 1 minute after sunrise. Okay? We're going to be generous. I'm not going to be hard-nosed about this. He died 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Therefore, from 3 to 6 is one day. One day, the Saturday, the Sabbath, 2 days. And if he rose 1 minute after sunrise, 3 days. even that is questionable. For they were there at sunrise, and he had risen. But I'm being generous to the people that want to think this way. And excellent Bible teachers believe it. Some of the greatest preachers of all time have accepted this. However, beloved, let us consider the other half of that prophecy. 3 days, according to Matthew 12:40, and 3 nights. Beloved, there's Saturday night, that's one. There's Sunday night, that's two. And there's no third night. I therefore reject that as being true. Jesus did not die on Friday the 15th. Good Friday is a tradition of men. It is not when our Lamb died. All right. Let's see what does work. Let's real quickly now go back to the 14th. Christ was actually arrested at midnight on the 14th. I am saying that Christ killed the killed the Passover lamb here on what you and I would call Wednesday. But to the Jewish thinking would be Thursday. They killed him. They ate the Passover supper, instituted the Lord's Supper. He was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane at midnight. He went through trials up until 9 o'clock in the morning, at which time he was placed on the cross. So there's our cross. At noon, the sky went black. And let me say this about that. Beloved, too many of us are hung out trying to explain things in the Bible with natural phenomenon. Many people tell us, oh, well, that was just an eclipse of the sun. Beloved, eclipses of the sun last minutes. The Scriptures tell us this lasted for 3 hours. Furthermore, there was a professional hater of God just after this named Celsus. And Celsus records in his writings that there was a blackout that day for 3 hours. He admits it, and he hated God, and he hated Christ. And if that atheist admits it, we've got all kind of proof that there really was a 3-hour blackout. And that was a supernatural occurrence. The Star of Bethlehem was not the conjunction of the planets like so many people try and make out and try and figure how it got so bright and everything. Yes, before Christ's period birth, I can't remember now whether it was 4 B.C. or 7 B.C., but right in there, there was a special conjunction of the planets made a very bright star, but that wasn't our star. What? Haven't you read? It stood over the manger at Bethlehem. It was a supernatural occurrence. And we try and explain everything away by trying to see how God... No, God did something special that day. Just like he did something special that day in Joshua chapter 10 when he said, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon, stand thou still over the valley of Aijalon." That was supernatural, and it really happened. All right. Now, then, if Christ died at 3 o'clock on this afternoon, let's see if that works. From 3 to 6 is one day. Friday is 2 days. Saturday the 16th is 3 days. And now we don't need him to rise after sunrise at all, do we? Now we can really honor what the Scriptures seem to indicate best, that he was already risen when they got there at sunrise. Let's see if the nights work. All right, if he died on Thursday the 14th, we have a night, Friday night, we have Saturday night, and we have the night of Sunday. Yes, Christ died on the 14th. Now, let me tell you, now you say, okay, Floyd, so what? Well, there's a lot of so whats. Let's look at one right now. Praise the Lord. Beloved, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. I want to read something to you that is extremely important in our study of Christ and the Jewish calendar. Chapter 5, verse 7. I am reading at the very last of it. "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Christ is the Passover. Beloved, for 1,500 years, the Jews were celebrating the Passover, killing a Passover lamb every year on the 14th day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I reject any teaching that teaches me that my Passover lamb died on any day other than the 14th at 3 o'clock. And don't you see, that's why I told you before that the Jews had two evenings. At 3 o'clock they made the evening sacrifice, and that is when they killed the Passover lamb. Isn't it amazing? Perfectly fitting the Scriptures, that precisely at the ninth hour, as the Scriptures say, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice and dismissed his spirit. Perfect, 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 fitting Old Testament teaching. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is just everywhere in the Old Testament. And so, beloved, I maintain, therefore, that I reject any teaching that would get me, my Passover lamb, killed any time other than the 14th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. First of all, it must be 3 days and 3 nights. And that's just not pretty talk. And that's not just a long way of saying 3 days.